Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Everybody to stand, please. Thank you. And you know the score. We're going to welcome up our... Gemma, are you standing there for a reason?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Right. No problem. So we're going to honour. That's what we do. Where the world doesn't honour, it dishonours people, slags people off, gossips about... Guys, that's not here. We honour people for what God has placed in them. We look with spiritual eyes. We wait to see what God is revealing to us. And then we encourage them. And we've seen Sam, our preacher man today, come from, again, obscurity into the family, working, doing every different job you can think of at times. And then eventually God has called him to preach. And he's got a great word for us. Let's welcome our very own Sam Bolton. Woo!
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome. Oh, it's so good to be back together as a family. But before I start, I'm going to introduce Gemma. As Clive says, we encourage our family, we support our family. And Gemma's got an amazing gift of poetry, which I absolutely love. And I've asked her today, to do a poem with regards to the message that we are going to be speaking about. So let's honour Gemma.
Thank you. So Sam asked me last week if I could do this for him, so bear with me. It's called Family. So it's not just by blood, but in those that we trust. Family is the greatest gift from above. The foundation of life, the purpose of God. We're called to be together in unity and love. Wife, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. For this is pleasing to the Lord, following the instructions he has given. Let us mourn with those who are mourning, rejoice with those who rejoice, for we are all God's children, serving him in our daily lives. Whether from a broken home or from a house of plenty, the Lord's arms are open to join his spiritual family. Honour thy mother and thy father is the first of his commands. Don't spare the rod, and your children will go far. We come in all shapes and sizes, every colour and every race, called that with one mind and one voice, all glory be to God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's honour Gemma. Well done, mate. Amen. So, if you don't know yet, today's message is a message on family, and we're going to be looking at the many aspects of living in the World Church family. Now, when we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father in heaven automatically. And that means that we become his children. And then we become brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. The family of God includes all believers in the past, present, and future, and we become a spiritual family. So did you know that the most important message for you to hear today, if you haven't heard it yet, is that God made you for his family. You are not alone in life. I think everyone needs to hear that. You are not alone in life. You are part of a family. Ephesians 1 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So the whole reason that me and you exist today is because God wanted you to become part of his family. Now, what is God's family? The Bible says that the family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of truth. Now, the church is not an institution. We're not a cult. We're not an organization. We're not a social club. The church is the family of God. It's God's family. And it's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about rituals. It's not about religion. It's about love and it's about relationships. Now, many families today, we are broken. My family is broken. My mum and dad have separated. They have split from when I was a teenager. Me and my siblings don't really get on too well. You know, there's times that we do fall out. And it can be the same with church. Satan has a mission. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to break down relationships. He wants to break up our family with gossip. He wants to break up our family with anger, with jealousy. And it's up to us to restore relationships in our family and in our spiritual family within our church. We cannot let the enemy win in breaking down our families. Amen? The church is the support foundation of truth. What happens when a building has no support? It will collapse. And buildings in earthquake-prone areas know about this. People who live... if you don't have a good foundation under your building, it's going to collapse when an earthquake comes. And God says that our lives work in the same ways. We're going to face some earthquakes in our life, whether they are financial earthquakes, emotional earthquakes, mental earthquakes, and even in the workplace or in our health. And when tough times come along and we don't have the spiritual family, that support network of our spiritual family, we will collapse. Because we need the church family, because you cannot fulfill your purpose in God's life that God has for you without your family of God. God wired us to need other people. With the strong support of a family of God, you will have the secure foundation that we need to stand through life's challenges. Romans 12 says, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Now, the church not only helps us center our life in God, but it also helps us connect with other believers. And God didn't put us on earth to live an isolated life. God wants us to learn to love other people. And he wants you to practice loving others in his family. When you become a child of God, you're connected instantly to other believers as they are your brothers and your sisters. And the Bible says that you're part of a body. Your spiritual life doesn't amount to anything if it's disconnected from the family of God. For instance, if you were to cut off your finger, the finger ain't just going to stop growing, it's going to die. And it's the same with us. When we disconnect from God and we disconnect from our Christian family, we too will die. Christ wants us to be connected. He wants us to be together. A study in mental health revealed that if we isolate ourselves from other people and don't develop close friendships, like those in a small group during the midweek, we're 3 times more likely to die an early death. We're 4 times more likely to suffer an emotional burnout. We're 5 times more likely to become depressed. And we're 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional and mental disorder. And during the last couple of years with COVID and lockdown, when it's been necessary to isolate physically, we've learned to connect in many different ways. And whatever situation that you're in today, you can connect. You're meant to be connecting with a church family to help you through it. We need to find ways to connect with each other and become part of the family of God. Join a small group during the week is the first place to start. If you're not in a midweek group yet, get into one. Ephesians 2:9 says, you are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. I remember when I first started out in small groups, I didn't have a clue. You know, you go to a house, you go to a small group and they're reading the Bible. It's like, I ain't got a clue what I'm reading here. What? Like now we're studying it. You know when you feel out of place, you're like, yeah, these guys are like a lot more sort of savvy like with this. I ain't got a clue what I'm doing here. But I remember I started off with Linda Corkis, Veronica, and these guys really helped me grow in my spiritual faith, you know. And it's important that we get in a small group. So why do you think God wants you to practice loving other believers on earth? What is that practice for? We need the support of our spiritual family. We cannot fulfill the purpose that God has in our lives by ourselves. He's wired us to need each other. And in that, we are to take care of each other in our spiritual family. 1 Timothy 5 says, do not rebuke an older man in the church harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So if we're a follower of Jesus, we cannot just care about our own family anymore. We have to care about our spiritual family as well. We must care about God's family. And who is your spiritual family? Well, look to your left, look to your right. It is the person sitting in this church right now. And you don't know what they're going through, and they may need you to help them and support them. Jesus said that whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And that means that if you follow Jesus, you and I are now related. Don't get too excited. God's grace through Jesus Christ bonds us together as a family. You've heard that saying, blood is thicker than water. Yeah? Well, grace is bigger than genetics. Amen? God wants us to see other people in the body of Christ as our spiritual fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. So what would change about the way you treat and interact with people and other believers in the church if you actually considered them a part of your family? The Bible tells us that Jesus actually had a biological family. He grew up with brothers and sisters. He had about 3 half-brothers and 2 half-sisters, and they were Mary and Joseph's other kids. And they show up many times through Scripture, watching Jesus do miracles and trying to talk him out of doing certain things. And one of Jesus' brothers was actually James, who wrote the book of James in the Bible. But as Jesus was dying, he did not entrust the care of his mother to his siblings. He entrusted it to John. He trusted it to his beloved disciple. And why is that? John 7:5 says that none of Jesus' siblings had become believers yet. They were among the many people who didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God until after the resurrection. And it wasn't until later that James became one of the high priests in the church in Jerusalem. But Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to John because John was already a mature believer. John was his spiritual family, and with closer ties through the bonds of grace than even his blood relations. He had closer ties with the spiritual family than he did his biological family. God has designed his family of faith to be the same for you. You can have closer bonds with your fellow Christians than you might ever have with your actual family. And those bonds should lead you to practically take good care of everyone in your spiritual family. Galatians 6:10 says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Now, we're always to do whatever we can to help people in need, but we are to pay special attention to those in our family of God. God's family helps us grow. Commit to growing spiritually as a disciple and a member of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing, full of love. God doesn't want us to remain a spiritual baby. I remember when I first started out as a Christian, it took me ages. All I wanted to do was come to church because I loved it here. Like, there was something about the world church, you know. We love the presence of God. We are loving, we are welcoming. It is a great place to be on a Sunday. But I was still doing my thing, you know. I was still going out and I won't go into too much detail. But I then started to grow in my faith. I started to be around people. Clive started building into me. Veronica and the midweek group started building into me. I had people, mature Christians, spiritually inputting into my life, like as if you had a baby taken from a baby age all the way to a young adult and they can spread their wings and fly by themselves. And that's the job that we have in our family. God doesn't want you to remain a spiritual baby. He wants you to become like Christ. He wants you to grow, but there's a catch. We can't do it on our own. When you have a baby, it doesn't just grow up on its own. You know, you don't just pop it out and go, right, good luck. You know, you have to nurture it. You have to love it. You have to feed it. They need a family of some kind, and we need a spiritual family, just like we needed someone when we were young and had to grow up physically. So why do you think God wants other people to play a role in your life, in your spiritual growth? Clive's job as a pastor is to make sure that the people in church are growing in their faith. It's a job of all of us. It's a job of all leaders, all the midweek small group leaders. In fact, the Bible says this about the people. It says their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. And at the World Church, we are always asking, Lord, how can we help our people grow? The Bible has a word for this kind of growth. It's called discipleship. Discipleship is the process of growth from a spiritual baby to a spiritual adult. And it means that you're maturing in your faith. You're getting stronger. You're developing a bit of spiritual muscle. So how can you grow as a disciple? First of all, get on the discipleship courses on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. We had one this Friday, absolutely great. I came out of it buzzing, and I felt like, you know, God really turned up and helped me grow. And he can do the same thing for you. If you want to grow in God and you want to grow in your faith, get on the discipleship course. If you need help getting onto it, like childcare, let me know. Let us know. We will help you get onto it. That's what we're here for. The Bible says in Acts 2, those who believed were baptized and added to the church that day, and about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the sharing of meals and to prayer. And that chapter later goes on to say that they worshipped together regularly at the temple each day. We met in small groups in homes for communion and shared meals with great joy and thankfulness. So, first and foremost, we believe. Secondly, we get baptized. The Bible says that. There's a baptism course coming up for anyone who has any questions or wants to know about it. We've got one coming up. But it's important that we become part of a church family and we participate in large group worship and fellowship on a Sunday and small group worship and fellowship during the week. We learn from the leaders in our church, leaders at the front, leaders in our groups. We learn from each other. You can actually help someone. You can help someone spiritually grow. You have a gift. You have a tool that someone needs. We are to commit to growing spiritually as disciples and members of the body of Christ. And the best thing is this. You don't have to earn God's acceptance. You don't have to earn his love. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Now, many of us spend our entire lives trying to be accepted. We want to earn it from our parents, our friends, our colleagues, our partners, people that we respect, and even the people that we don't like, and even the people that we are jealous of. The desire to be accepted drives us all to do all kinds of silly things. And it can influence the kind of things that, like the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the careers that we choose in our life, the houses that we buy. But when you have spent your life looking for people's acceptance, what was the result of that? I remember, do you know when you're in school as a teenager, right? You always want to be like, you never want to be the kid that's on their own. You want to have people around you. You want to have friends, right? And we were playing football once and, you know, we were the big kids. It's like, yeah, we get accepted by these guys. We're going to be looked after here. You know what I mean? And I remember we were playing football and the ball goes onto the sports hall roof and it was really high. And the way to get to that sports hall roof is you climb onto the riggedy sort of bamboo kind of shutter. You climb up the barbed wired wall over the fence. You go onto the riggedy metal air vent, over the glass roof, onto the sports hall, and then kick the ball down and then come back the other way. So as you know, I've done it. I've done it because I wanted the kids to go, oh, yeah, well done, Sam. Sweet, mate. We'll look after you. All good. You know, you feel like you're accepted. You're a part of the playground now. And when I did, I fell through the glass roof. But anyway. But you know what? The truth is sometimes we do crazy things to be accepted. A teenager who badly wants to fit in might take that risky dare. Their desire to be accepted overrules their desire of safety. And if you've ever played football as a kid, you know, it was always great when you were picked first by the best player, weren't it? And then it weren't so great when you were picked last. We've all had that feeling, haven't we?
Yes, Sam, you have.
But we love the feeling of being accepted. And did you know that you're not only accepted, but you are chosen? Did you know that the 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it starts off with, you are a chosen people. This ain't by accident that you're here. This ain't by accident that you are alive. This ain't by accident you are with God. You were chosen. And that should raise your self-esteem. Christ has accepted you, not because you tried hard or because you particularly deserve it, you've had a good week. No, God simply says, I choose you. And when you're part of God's family, that will never change. No matter what you do in life, God will always accept you. And even if you've experienced rejection in life, rejection from friends, rejection from your family, maybe you're the, what do they call it now, the black sheep of the family, or the outcast of the family. If that's you, you're not the outcast and you're not rejected in God's family. That's the one way God's family works. It says in Psalms 27:10, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will take care of me. You know, you may have accepted Jesus into your life, but have you realized that Christ has accepted you? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. You're accepted by Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. And we're meant to give. We're meant to give to encourage our family of Christ. And did you know that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving? Romans 12:10 says, love one another with mutual affection. Mutual affection. Affection is showing love. Sex is not love. Sex is the climax of affection. Affection is taking care of every spot, every wrinkle, giving your wife some flowers every other day or maybe once a week. Ladies, am I right? Yeah. Turning over and saying, you know what, you look beautiful today. Yeah. But wives, you have to do the same thing. Yeah, can't just work both ways.
You look beautiful today, Sam.
Thanks, mate. I've completely lost where I'm at now. Where am I? God wants you to learn to love him and invest in the lives of other people. Love God first, love people. And the third one is love yourself. When you do the first two, the third one is easy. Then he wants you to learn to love and invest in the family of God. And this is what something I like to call a mutual fund. We all know what a mutual fund is, right? How do you invest in a mutual fund? You invest in it by using some of your money to encourage fellowship, build relationships, and demonstrate love. So why should you give to encourage fellowship? The Bible says that this service you do not only helps the needs of God's people, but it also brings many more thanks to God. It is a proof of your faith. Many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ, the gospel that you say you believe, and because you freely share with them and with all others. How can your money build relationships in God's family? Any time that you give your money to someone, it draws you closer to that person. So when you invest financially in fellow believers, you grow closer to them. Any time you take a meal to someone who's sick or someone who needs help, you're investing in that mutual fund. When you contribute to a teenager who's raising money for New Day very soon, you're investing in that mutual fund. When you take a discouraged believer who's had a really tough time to coffee just to be a listening ear, you've invested in that mutual fund. Your money can also demonstrate love. You show love for God when you tithe to your church, but you can also give financially to other people. And when you do, it's an act of love. It's like banking it in heaven. Anytime you use your funds to show love to somebody in the family of God, you're investing in that mutual fund. And remember, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that's in other aspects as well. We have to be present. We have to turn up. So what value is there to becoming like family to other believers? Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, the Bible places importance on the church family unit because of these reasons. The first reason is we study God's word together. A church family provides consistent Bible teaching, and this is often in our small groups during the week. Bible studies, teachings from the pastor on a Sunday. Sunday school, our kids are getting it, and youth on a Sunday. We're getting it as well, and we're hoping to start a midweek youth group, so please be praying for that. The church family is called to grow spiritually together, spurring one another on. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Secondly, we honour God through worship. I absolutely love the worship today. Oh, weren't it heavenly? You know, we need a band name for our worship bands, isn't it? Maybe the Eternals or something, you know? But there's a unifying factor when believers worship God together, whether it's through music or preaching or serving. Psalms 34:3 emphasizes this. It says, "Glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Next, we find accountability in the family of God. The church provides a framework for accountability. You know, once relationships grow and friendships are formed, there is someone there to encourage you, someone there to correct you when necessary, and someone there to celebrate with you. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his friend's countenance." Accountability is crucially important in the battle to overcome sin. It's crucially important to grow spiritually. And the church family is the great place to find someone to pray with, someone to talk to, someone to share your problems with in confidence, and someone to pray for breakthrough in that. And that leads on to the next point. We find support in our trials and tough times. When tough times come, a support system is crucial. When in need, that we're going to need our brothers and sisters in Christ to uphold us in prayer and assist us practically wherever they can. It may be cleaning, it may be cooking, it may be childcare. You know, Galatians 6:2 says, it encourages us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And next thing is a practical one. We gain opportunities of service. We not only receive support from church, but we are to give it as well. Our calling in the church is to contribute and not just to receive. When we are in close fellowship with other believers, we know that when they need support and prayer, we can step in and help them practically. Ephesians 6:7 says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people." And lastly, we make disciples. There comes a time when we need to learn to feed rather than be fed. We can evangelize, we can teach, we can encourage and disciple our church family. Matthew 28, the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before returning to the Father, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of age." Can we all stand? In an age when the culture is increasingly secular, it is beneficial to be in a family like ours. A family of like-minded believers. You know, the brothers and sisters. In fact, you know what? Can we just gather together in about maybe threes, fours? We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for our family. Let's get together and display that now. The brothers and sisters next to you can encourage you, can support you, respond to your questions, and pray for you where needed. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we're going to pray for each other right now. We're going to pray that we all grow spiritually connected together as a family. We're going to pray that relationships, new relationships are forming and now strengthening and now growing together. We're going to be praying for any need that that person in your group has. If you have a certain request, let your group know and they're going to pray for you. Let's just bow our heads right now. Lay hands on however you want to do it, and we're just going to pray. Come on, Clive. I'll pray for you.
So kind.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that we are part of your spiritual family. God. We thank you, God, that we have a purpose in you. Mm. And Lord, right now we pray for our brother and our sister next to us. We pray, Father God, right now that your spirit will come in awesome power. Come into their life.
Yes, God.
Come into their heart, Lord. Lord, we want to be disciples that make disciples, Lord. And Lord, we want to support our family in everything that they are going through. Father God, we just thank you for this family, Lord. We thank you, God, for this church. And Lord, we pray that you will help each and every one of us to spur each other on, to support us, to help us grow in you, Lord.
God.
And Father, where we're struggling to be welcomed and accepted into this family, whether we don't want to, whether we don't feel like we are, Lord, help us to see the love of Christ in each and every one of us. Help us to be a loving church family.
God.
Help us, God, to fulfill all that you want to do in the church family today.
God.
Lord, as we worship you, fill every heart, fill every mind, and just be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey guys, our service is over, but we're going to, so there's teas and coffees over that side. Please make the most of that, and we're just going to worship for those who are still in that mode. We're going to have one or two more as we finish up. Have a great week, and do be family together. And yeah, should we give Sam a big round of applause? Well done, Sam. Over to you, ladies.